All right, happy Sabbath. Thank God we made it safely. It was raining cat and dogs, if you know what I mean. And you know what happened? All of them fell on my car. But we are here, thank God, and ready to start our study. Since we have quite a bit of people here, I would like to ask you, if possible, to be here next Sabbath for Sabbath school, not only for communion, because I believe it is I'm scheduled to do it. Don't think about this, please. But it is a very important subject. If you look ahead in the quarterly, you'll see it's about the spiritual gifts. And why is it important? Because God wants us to have those gifts. And more than that, what? Use them. Amen? All right. So as we did before, we're going to read together the scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So who is responsible for all of this? Jesus. Amen? So we're going to study today this subject of, you saw the screen before, it's coming back, of righteousness by faith. And I believe that we all heard, at least, if not know very well, what righteousness by faith is and why is important. Amen? Good. So, first thing, if you have any question during the presentation, raise your hand or not raise your hand and ask. I want to be clear, everything is this subject. Because there are many things which are not clear in many people's minds. And it is important to understand this subject. So don't be shy, ask me, and if I know, I'm going to answer. If I don't, I'm going to study and come back and give you an answer about. So righteousness by faith. Let's dig in with the help of God. So there are some questions. Why do people go to church? Why do we come to church? And I put here an answer, we want to be saved. Is that right? Is that the reason you come to church? To learn how to be saved, yeah? And put ourselves in the hands of Jesus. Amen? So, how to be saved? What is the process of salvation? To be saved from what? That's the question. The sin. One cannot understand salvation without understanding what sin is. God wants us to be saved. Not believing in God makes salvation an unnecessary concept. It is sin which has caused us to be lost, and the gospel is the good news of how God saves us from sin. If a diagnosis in sin is correct, then the gospel remedy for sin will solve the problem. And we can have full assurance of salvation. On the other hand, if our definition of sin is unbiblical and based on misinformation or some other reasons, then our gospel is likely to be just as unbiblical and based on centuries of Christian tradition instead of the Word of God. So, do you remember a verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus came to save us from sin? And his name will be Emmanuel, which means he will save his people from sin. Yes, Matthew 1:21. So it is clear, Bible shows it. Amen? Do we understand this? we have to be saved from sin. Why should we study the subject of Christ coming into our world as a human being at this point? We have to understand this, and you will see why. Because just about everything we need to know about salvation and righteousness by faith can be learned by a careful study of the life of Christ. Most of the misunderstandings about how a person is saved can be easily by studying how Christ came into our world. No, it's not better there either. And can be easily cleared up by studying how Christ came into our world, how life lived on a day-by-day basis, and how he met the temptation of Satan. I should have made it bigger when I prepared it. But I wanted to be all of this in one slide, and it couldn't work. I tried. I'm sorry. And my eyes don't get any younger. Now, let's come back to this subject a little bit to talk. Why is it important to understand how Jesus lived on this earth as a human being in order to understand how salvation works? He is an example. Example for what?
For life in Christ in him, or what God expects of us individually.
Okay. So he is an... In other words, he is an example for us.
Yes.
He had no sin.
He had no sin. Do you have any sin with you? Okay. So he's an example for us. Marika said he didn't have sin. Right? It's right. But we have. Yeah. How is he an example for us?
That you can live without sin. In God's power, not in our power.
So it's a long discussion. And I can press and press and press until I get the right answer. But we might not have time. He is our example in which way? Remember the verse in Revelation 3:21. For he who overcomes, says Jesus, as I overcame, I will grant him to sit with me on my
throne.
So what's the way? He is an example for us. Through his power, we overcome as he overcame. Do we understand this concept?
Yes.
It's less understood by many people. Because Jesus is an example. He did good. Oh, we have to do good. He's an example. He healed people. And we try to heal people as much as we can. He is an example to do this and to do that. The only way we take to take him as an example is to follow the way he lived in connection with his Father. Amen? That's the very important thing for us to understand. What is salvation? Salvation is simple. At least it should be. But the reality is that over the course of 2,000 years, different versions of the gospel have developed within Christianity. Unfortunately, because some of these versions have been promoted by major figures in Christian history, false versions of the gospel have gained standing and credibility, and confusion has been an inevitable result. The study of doctrine and prophecy is a fascinating and productive area of study and should never be neglected by one who is trying to learn God's will for his or her life. But underlying all of the doctrines of the Bible is the subject of how God saves a sinner from guilt and condemnation and prepares that sinner for the eternal life in a new world where sin will never again rear in an ugly head. we must not be guessing as to how this salvation process works. We dare not take someone's word for how it works. No matter how influential or educated that person may be, we absolutely must know for ourselves what the Bible really teaches about salvation. In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believes." So it's a long text here. What do we gather from this text?
That we take the word of God, not what other people say about salvation.
Yes, that's one aspect. Remember what Paul said? If you hear preaching another gospel that another Jesus, actually, he said, then I preach to you, that's not right. Amen? That's from that time, there were all kind of winds of doctrine going around, and people were thinking differently than he taught about Jesus and salvation. So, I believe the main aspect we have to understand here is that in the world today, in the Christian world especially, because Christians claim that they believe they want salvation, right? You go to a Buddhist, they don't need salvation, or somebody, because they don't believe in what? We just talk. They don't believe in sin. If there is no sin, we don't need salvation. If there is no sin, we don't need grace. Because grace is given to us because we are sinners. Otherwise, we don't need grace, right? So what we gather from this one? That there are in the world today, in the Christian world, at least two gospels. The real gospel of the Bible and the one that is all around, I would say, which is not biblical. Do you understand this? We can go further? Yeah? Remember, if you have question, ask me. We have to leave this presentation having clear in our minds how it works. Amen? So we know that salvation is by faith, right? So in different epistles, Paul emphasizes different aspects of salvation. In Romans, he emphasizes justification. In Corinthians, he emphasizes salvation. In Galatians, he emphasizes redemption. Pardon? Galatians, redemption and freedom. Ephesians, spiritual resurrection and unity. Philippians, satisfaction, contentment. That's a very interesting subject. We don't have it today, but many people are satisfied or content with how they are. Right? Oh, we are saved. I'm okay. We're doing whatever. Can we say we are saved and do what we want? Come on. We are not saved. Yeah, what are we here?
He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life.
That's very important aspect. You're right. But we studied once with a lady that was Lutheran. And she was very concerned, I would say, about us at Seventh-day Adventist. Because she said, I know I'm saved and this is it. And we try to explain that, yes, we believe we are saved, but you can't stay in this status unless you are connected permanently with Jesus Christ, as Ron said. And she was, no, you don't have assurance of salvation. Your religion is not good. Was she right or not? Why was she wrong? She passed away, unfortunately, but she was very sick. But why was she wrong?
Yeah. We can't trust her. And Because we accept them once doesn't mean tomorrow that we can't change our mind. It's not once always, it's once a day.
So this is the other kind of gospel, right?
Yes.
I was saved on 15th of December, 19, I don't know. I'm saved. We are under grace. We can do whatever we want. Is that right?
No.
If you're under grace, can you do whatever you want?
No.
No. Why we are under grace? Because we are sinners. So if you are sinners, you are under grace and you want to be saved, or you are saved, can you do what you want? Not according to the will of God? See how confused people are. Colossians, fulfillment. Thessalonians, glorification. How is righteousness obtained? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in or of are okay or good translations? Okay. Do we need faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Definitely. Do we need faith of Jesus Christ? And what does it mean to have the faith of Jesus Christ? His faith. The way he had his faith, we have to have faith. The way he was connected with his Father, and he said, my Father is in me and I am in my Father. The same way we have to have our relationship with him. He in us and us in him. This is the faith of Jesus. Is this in any messages for the people living in the last time? There are two verses in the Bible. Revelation 12:17, remember, and Revelation 14:12. The faith of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus. Remember this? Very important verses. We have to know them by heart. Remember what Peter said. You have to be ready to give testimony of your faith at all time. If somebody comes to you and asks you, why do you believe this? Are you able to give him an explanation and with the Bible explain everything? This is where we have to be. If we are not there, don't despair. Jesus will help. But we have to know. Do my words contribute to salvation? Yes or no? No. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am better than you because I did this, and I greater works, and I did this and that. And who has this kind of means for salvation? Doing something. Is there a church? The Catholic Church, right? You know that they don't believe in salvation by the grace of God and his sacrifice. The only way they believe is through your good works. Are you aware of this? This is what they believe and they promote. Now, let's take the steps that are involved in this process of salvation. Justification. So salvation, as you know, I'm sure you know this, consists of these three parts. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. Amen? What does justification accomplish for me, for us? Being justified to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are past. So one aspect of justification is what? Forgiveness of sin that we have in the past, right? Is that forgiveness for future sins? No. That happened only in the political world. You got forgiven for what was and what will be forever. And you know it happened, unfortunately. But not in this religious, the Bible religion. What must I do to receive justification or forgiveness for past sins? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do we understand? When we confess, we are forgiven, but not only this, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. This is what the Bible says. The other gospel we will see, it doesn't say this way. You are just declared that you are forgiven. And then next day, you go again to the priest to confess again, and you are forgiven again, and then you do what you want, and then you go again, and you are confessing, and you are forgiven. And this is how it goes until what? Until you die, and many people say you go to heaven, until you go to purgatory, or to go to hell, and they decide where you go. Right? What does the Bible say? If you confess, you are forgiven, and you are cleansed by all unrighteousness. This is a very important subject to understand, how it works. What else is justification called? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We heard about this concept, born again. And you heard many people saying, I saw on television or different clips on video, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. And many people say, and they believe this. Unfortunately, they don't believe what they have to believe. They believe a kind of born-again that, you know, you're born again, you're saved, and this is it. Then you go and go partying and do whatever you want, and then you're born again, and born again, and so understand how much confusion is in this world. Let's talk about this born again. The word used in the Bible is anothen. I read how it reads in English. I don't know Greek at all. So I can, you know, you see that's Alpha and Omega and some other letters that are used in physics, yeah, and some other places. But anothen has at least two meanings, and that's what the Strong Concordance says. It is born again, or born anew, or from above. This is where a person was confused. Who was that person? Nicodemus. Oh, how can I be born again now, a grown-up person? He understand again, but he didn't understand exactly a new creature, a new person by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? This is what Jesus said in John 3 and then 4. You see the effects of the Holy Spirit, right? You don't see the Holy Spirit just working. You see that there are effects. And he said, like a wind. You see how the branches are moved, but you don't see the wind. That's the Holy Spirit. This is the explanation in John 3 and John 4. So, did Nicodemus understand right away or not? He didn't leave and say, thank you, teacher, I understand now, bye. No, he didn't say that way. He was still confused until when he manifested that he was changed. When? After the crucifixion, right? Okay. So we have to keep in mind the way we understand. And there are times that if we read a translation of the Bible, be any translation, we might get the not the real understanding, I would say. But we have to go and dig deeper, I would say, and try to understand somehow through using concordance and other means. Of course, there are. I found this on the internet, this explanation. Looking for Monica, found it somewhere, and she showed me, and then I went to that website, and there were and there are still many explanations, very good with slides. And then I said, okay, this is what internet says, the slide. I went to the concordance and to some other translation to see, is this real? This is the way we have to understand or not? So I believe this should be the process we have to follow all the time. Just as with every crucial aspect of salvation, Satan has provided a counterfeit justification by which salvation is promised but not delivered. Just as there were false gospels masquerading as the truth in Paul's day, so we have false gospels today promising what they cannot deliver. And multitudes of sincere Christians have bought into Satan's version of the gospel because it sounds so good. I am saved, they say. Right? What is the popular counterfeit of true justification? Basically, it is limiting justification to a declaration. It is restricting justification to God's declaration that we are righteous. In other words, it is making half of justification the whole gospel. Many Christians believe that justification is limited to pardon and forgiveness and declaration alone. In this lesson, in this presentation, we will see that there is another vital aspect of justification, and without this dimension, justification is hollow and unsatisfying. So what do people in different churches, I would say in great majority of churches, Christian churches today, they believe that they are forgiven, they believe that this way they are justified, and they believe that from this moment they are saved, and this is it. There is no need for what? Transformation. They don't talk about transformation. And that's half of the gospel. Come as you are is a good call. You don't have to wait until you are a saint to come to God. He will make you saint. That's the understanding of come as you are. We have to understand this. Many people say, I am so big a sinner, I cannot come. I have to change before I come. No, come as you are, and He will take care of the change. He means Jesus. Amen? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost with Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow. So when you are justified, you are not only declared, but you are changed and you become heirs. Look carefully at how God saves us. The washing of regeneration does not refer to the waters of baptism, but to the washing of the heart. This is a heart experience, a complete transformation. It happens in the mind. It changes my values, our values, and my attitudes. The Holy Spirit renews my mind. No longer am I self-centered. Now I am Christ-centered and other centers. Now I have the mind of Christ. Remember Paul said, let have the mind of Christ in you, right? When this washing and renewing have been accomplished by Christ to the Holy Spirit, then I am justified and saved. There is more to justification than being pardoned from the past sin. This is justification experienced in the inward life. It is crucial to understand that justification follows regeneration and renewing. How does it work? We understand that we are sin. Have you ever read Steps to Christ, the little booklet? It's wonderful. If you want to know, read, I don't know, it's 100 pages maybe. In 2 hours you're done. If you read it, but if you understand, it takes longer. And it explained very well. That book is fantastic, booklet. And you know, it was rejected by most of the other Christian world. Says, no, that's not the real way. Our sanctification. We're going to come back to justification a little bit later to better understand. So the person who is washed from sin, who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, who stands justified and pardoned in the sight of God, it is also sanctified in that very act. Did you know that? The moment you are justified, you are sanctified. What does it mean? That's the point. What does it mean? You are justified and you are sanctified. You are saved and called to be a part. This is sanctification, right? Is sanctification important? 100%, right? There is a verse in the Bible, Hebrews 12:14, that without sanctification, nobody can see God. Some other translation said without holiness. But when you are sanctified, you are holy by the power of God. So is sanctification important for our salvation? Amen. Without sanctification, no one can see God. So what people don't understand is this aspect. I prayed, I'm justified. Now, the Bible says that you are sanctified the same moment. And we read in some other places, even in the spirit of prophecy, but sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Is that right? Have you heard of this aspect? Do you agree with this? How does it work? Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. So I am not sanctified until I die, I don't know, 30 years from now. But anyway, if you are young, I say, oh, I have time enough to be sanctified all my life. Is that what the Bible says? How do we understand that sanctification is the work of a lifetime? If the same moment when you are justified, you are sanctified. It's a progress.
We eventually grow because of what we feed ourselves with. And it's the same thing with holiness, sanctification. We start out small, but as the Lord gives us life, we grow. Amen. We get more like Jesus.
Everybody heard this? What Ron explained? So I asked you at the beginning, have you heard of righteousness by faith? Do we know this? And now I ask you, and you are silent. Dear people, we have to understand how it works. Because we're going to be confronted from people in the Adventist church going about sanctification without understanding what it is. Just an example you all know. before we continue. The thief on the cross, was he justified and sanctified or not? Yes. One yes against 30. Yes or no?
Yes.
How do we know that he was justified and sanctified?
God told him.
Jesus told him. What Jesus told him? What did he tell him? Certainly you will be with me. Where?
In heaven.
In heaven. What does the verse in Hebrews 12:14 says? Without holiness or sanctification, no one can see God. So it means that he was sanctified, because he wasn't. He couldn't go to heaven. Jesus couldn't tell him, no, we have to wait. Don't die now. We have to be sanctified and then we go to heaven. Right?
No.
No. He didn't live to grow in Christ, but he was changed that very moment when he admitted that Jesus is Messiah. Amen? Okay, let's go. God looks at us not in our filthy garments of sin, but now clothed with the pure righteousness of Christ. We are declared to be sanctified or set apart for holiness, just as we are declared to be justified or pardoned from our sins, we are declared to be sanctified. In this way, the thief on the cross was both justified and sanctified because he had been set apart for holiness. In passing, we might note that Paul places washing and sanctification before justification, perhaps to make the point that they are really all part of one saving process. You will hear in Adventism that justification is one step, sanctification is another step, and it's going to take the whole life. And many people say, you might be totally sanctified or brought to perfection, or you might not be, and there is confusion, and many don't believe exactly what the Bible says. When you are justified, you are sanctified, and you are ready for heaven, that moment. If you live, the sanctification continues, and you grow in Christ. We'll see that. This is what it is. Now, let me ask you this. We are, let's say, a graph. We are here and we grow in sanctification, right? And we'll see how much we have to grow. Some people say we have to grow until we are perfect. But they don't understand what perfect means, because we cannot be perfect. The only perfection we have is through his righteousness, right? Okay, now you grow in Christ, and you are halfway, so in sanctification, let's say, yeah? And you still have to continue. But at this moment, you die. You are not totally sanctified. What is going to happen? Oh, you maintain daily relationship with God, and you follow him daily, 100%. But you are not here. You are here and you die. Are you saved or not? But you're not the perfect in sanctification. We are perfect for that moment. What happened with our sanctification, with our righteousness? We are covered by his blood. All this time, from justification to the moment we die, if we stay in Christ, we are covered with his righteousness all the time. That's the assurance of salvation. Don't let people tell you, you are not there, you die, or you are not saved. It's not real. So, when you are justified, you are sanctified, you are born again, it's another expression, or you are converted. right? There is a lot to talk about this aspect. What is conversion? We said born again. Yeah, you are a babe and you grow and you are mature. You know, you cannot ask a one-year-old to do what a 20-year-old does, right? But for this age, yeah, he walks, he has a few words and so forth. He's perfect for his age. Amen? But if you are 20 and you go like a one baby, blah, 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 huh? You're perfect? No. Every stage, you are perfect in Christ. So what is conversion? The what? Okay. So you change your mind. You don't go in that direction, but it's still you, right? But not going that way, going the other way. Let me give you an example. It's probably not the best, but it's about conversion. You know that there is an app in the phone, but you can go anywhere. It calls unit conversion, converter, right? And let's say about temperature. You want to know what is 70 degrees Fahrenheit in Celsius. And you go there and you see that's about 20 degrees Celsius. Right? And that's conversion. What changed? It's the same temperature. It's the same you. But with another units. Another way of measure yourself. You are no longer of the world. You are Christ. Amen? That's conversion. It's the same person. Everybody can see it's you. But it's a different way of you. Amen? Yes. Oh, you can save to Mars, definitely. What is sanctification? That everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What is vessel? Here. What is vessel? Your body. This is what the Bible means, yeah? Your body. How to possess his vessel, his body in sanctification and honor. But Jesus said, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? There is so much confusion. I just watched a documentary. I don't want to go to too many details. It was very disturbing. About a book that goes around in the Christian world. And what they said, you know, the New Age movement, they consider that God is in you and you are gods and you can become more and more like God all the time, but God is in you, which the Bible doesn't say this way. And they even said, remember what Jesus said? The kingdom of heaven is in you. And they quote this verse and they said, don't you know that the kingdom of God is in you? So it means that you're God. That's it. Can we ever be God? Yes or no? Never. We cannot be God. But we can be like him. When he created Adam and Eve, were they gods? No, but they were like him. If you go and read what the Mormon book said, it says that they were gods and Adam fell upwards. Have you heard this? This is what they teach. Can you fall upwards? Can I fall on the balcony from here? You cannot believe. And they call themselves the Latter-day Saints. I don't blame them. They don't have yet the truth, but pray God to enlighten them. But this is what they teach. Their prophet. Who was the prophet of the Mormon church? Joseph Smith. Right. Have you ever heard anything wrong about Joseph Smith? Who said that Adam fell upwards. Because if he didn't fall, it didn't fall upwards, then he couldn't be God. Right? So, go on internet, put a Google search, Joseph Smith, and see if there is anything wrong about him on the internet. Go say Ellen White. Thousands and thousands of pages that she wasn't a real prophet and everybody was deceived. What do you think is this way? That's it. No good deeds go unpunished, right? That's a way of saying, but it's not real. For God has called us to not called us to uncleanliness, but to unto holiness. He cleans us and we are become holy. Let's go a little bit more. How long does it take for a person to become fully sanctified? Until what point? The Bible says, Ephesians 4:13, keep in mind this verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the goal? To be mature, fullness like Christ. Can we be gods? No. Can we be like him? Attain this fullness through his power? Are we sure about this? Amen. We had a wonderful presentation by Ralph about grace. That's real. Just as justification is declared by God at the moment of conversion, so sanctification is declared by God at the same moment. We are set apart for holiness, and God looks at us through the holy character of Jesus Christ. In this way, we can have complete assurance of salvation. It is often said that this understanding of the gospel deprives us of assurance, and we talked about this. But this is totally false. When the heart is surrendered and we wear the robe of Christ's righteousness, we have perfect peace and assurance while we continue to grow in Christ. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, do you have assurance of salvation? I say, oh, but let me think. I believe, but I'm not so sure. If we stay in Christ, a daily commitment, we have perfect assurance of salvation. This is what the Bible says. It's not me saying or anybody else. How is sanctification accomplished? Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Which is the word? The Bible is the word of God. But what does John say in John 1? Who was the word?
Jesus.
So Jesus is the word, and his word, he is revealed to us through the words in the Bible. You read the Bible, understand the words, and then you become more faithful than you were at the beginning, and then you are saved. Amen? Do I obey the word, or does Jesus do it in me? That's a very important question. Do we have to obey it everywhere in the Bible? We have to obey. Right? Do you agree with this? Have you tried to obey and fail? So what's the solution?
By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. God sending his own Son that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So is he in us that makes us obey, right? If you recall Ephesians 2, verses 8, for by grace you are saved, and that is from God, right, through faith. And who prepares the good works or obeying for us? What does those verses say? And he prepared the good works that you walk in them. So when you are in connection with him, he has already prepared the works. And you walk in them. It's not you, it's he. Amen? What does God ultimately accomplish in me through sanctification? That's very important. As we spend time with God, we see more and more of His glory, and we become more and more like Him in character. That's growing. Ron mentioned that. Our lives reflect more of His holiness as we spend more time in His presence. Sanctification is not trying harder and harder to be righteous. Amen? It's not my effort. Ephesians 2 says, not your works that you cannot take, merit or boast yourself. Oh, I did this, and look at me, people. Oh, you saw people like this everywhere. Look at me, what I did, and No, we did nothing. So sanctification is not trying harder and harder to be righteous. It is spending quality time with Jesus through Bible study, prayer, and thoughtful meditation so that we allow Jesus to change us into His likeness. Meditation, all the new age that conquers the world at this time, it says meditation and empty your mind and let God come to your mind. Is it that meditation? It's not biblical meditation. When you meditate about something, and you meditate about Jesus and His salvation. You don't empty your mind for any spirit to come in your mind. You see how people are deceived. Sanctification is allowing the Holy Spirit to take total control of our lives and choices, and that He can perform the miracle of holy living in us. Where previously our self-centered wills made selfish, sinful choices, now our spirit-centered will make unselfish, obedient choices. So how we grow to be conformed to the image of His Son. And it seems impossible. But remember, sanctification is not trying harder and harder to be like Him. It's letting Him transform you through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit comes to those who obey Him, it says in Acts. Many people claim today they have the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says one thing and they come, the Holy Spirit showed me that whatever, which is not according to the Bible. Is that the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He will come to teach you about sinfulness, righteousness, salvation, everything. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He works in us to show us that we are sinners and we need God and repentant and so forth. And He does the whole work. The Holy Spirit doesn't come with ideas that contradicts the Bible. And you will hear in this word today all the time, the Holy Spirit showed me this and showed me that, and this is not what the Bible says. Salvation, past, present, and future. How does the Bible emphasize that salvation involves past, present, and future? Who delivered Jesus? Us from so great a debt, and does deliver, and in whom we trust that He will deliver us. So past He delivered us, He does the work today and delivers now, and He will deliver us. So how the Bible presents it? Justification is conversion. And we talk about this. Just keep in mind, I don't know how to give you a better example, but it's the same you with other measures, with other ideas. But when people look at you, this is Nelu, this is Ron, this is Jess or Don, it's the same. But when you talk, you realize that something is different than it was. Amen? So justification is conversion. It delivers us from sin's penalty. So when you are justified, you are not under the law anymore. What does it mean to be under the law? You are condemned. because you broke the law. But when you're justified, you are not guilty, right? When you are under the law, you are guilty, and you have to pay. So when you are justified, it delivers you from the penalty. You don't have to pay anything. It was done for you and me. Sanctification is victorious living. It delivers daily from the sin's power. That's growing in Christ. So today, I was justifying, sanctifying, now I grow. Tomorrow, I stop smoking. The other day, I stop doing whatever, cursing or drinking or whatever. That's day by day getting rid of the power of sin through his power. Amen. Glorification, entering heaven, will deliver us from sin's presence. So we are justified and there is no penalty for sin. Then we, through the power of Jesus Christ in us, through the Holy Spirit, we get rid of all the sins. The power is not on us. Remember what Jesus said? Satan came to tempt, but he didn't find anything in me, right? What does it mean? You know, you are, used to curse at any corner, you know, one cut in front of, and so forth, right? And Satan knows that you used to do this, and he creates situation for you to do that, and press the button and you do it. But with Jesus, Satan didn't have any button to press and force him to sin. Remember that? Remember. Another way. God has saved us from the sin penalty through justification. God is saving us from sin's power. The power of sin doesn't have power on us. That's called sanctification. God will save us from his sin presence. Sin cannot go to heaven. Don't believe anybody who tells you that you can sin until he comes, and when he comes, you are transformed and go to heaven. No, you have to be transformed first and then go to heaven. 1 John 5:17, I believe, said you have to see him as he is now in this world, not then. Is Jesus the sole basis for my salvation? Yes? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not through priest, not through Mary, not through anything else, works of Jesus Christ, the only. What part do I play in salvation? Is that something? What part do I play in salvation? If there be first a willing mind, accepted according to what man had and not according to that he had not. So we have to be willing to accept a gift. This is our part. If we are not willing, that's it. Christians grow a necessity. Is it a necessity? Do we have example? We just studied in a lesson, I believe 2 weeks ago or so, when it says Paul told the Corinthians, don't drink milk like baby. Now you have to be at the other stage of your life, a Christian life, right? That's growing. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect. Yet, if God's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be a continual advancement. It's from Christ Object Lesson. I heard many Seventh-day Adventists telling people that there is no way we can be perfect. Is that real or not? Through our power, we cannot be perfect. Amen. They are right this way. But we can be perfect in Christ. Because he covers us with what? With his robe of righteousness. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect, or is perfect in Christ. Sanctification is a state of holiness without and within. Being holy and without reserve, the Lord, not in form but in truth. So you are holy not because you show people how holy you are, how careful you are with everything and whatever. You are holy inside. What is inside comes outside. Comes out. Speaks out about you. So it's the holiness within and without. You show it. Because we might be deceived with some people, but God is not deceived. And God is not mocked. Even if they seem to be the perfect people, the nice people in the world or whatever, God knows their heart. And eventually we will see their deeds are not real and good. It is important to note that we do not grow into sanctification. We grow in sanctification. We are sanctified. It's not sanctification and we go and navigate into knows. We are sanctified. And that sanctification grows in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. From the sanctified state in which God places us at the conversion, we advance continually in maturity. As long as we do not allow sin to separate us from God, we continue to grow in holiness. Amen? What, according to Isaiah, is the big problem of sin? We have turned everyone to his own way, and God had laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, we all are sinners. And while we were sinners, he paid the price for us. So God laid on him all the iniquity of ours. Amen? How hard is for me sometimes to let Jesus rule my life? Do you feel it's hard at times? Yeah, because we are pulled in all kinds of directions and habits and things that we have to do and all kinds of things. But if we stay constantly through his feet, at his feet, I would say, and through his Holy Spirit power, we never go wrong. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. So you feel that is something that might make you depart from Jesus, pray and get rid of that thing. I don't know what it is for anybody. Can I lose salvation once I have received it? That's an important point. Can we lose salvation? The answer is yes. Jesus said, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. How does it say? A branch in me. We are here. We are branch in him, branches in him. But if we don't bear fruit, he's going to cut out. It doesn't mean that if we have every Sabbath, we come here and we pay tithe and we sing and we preach or whatever we do, are we going to be saved? No. Fruits are a different story. And we will see next Sabbath in the Sabbath school. There are two things very different, but they come from the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know that there are two things. Salvation of the Book of Life. Can my name be removed from the Book of Life once it has been written there? Yes. Unfortunately, yes. Can I be sure of salvation once I accept Jesus? This is the verse never to forget. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What he started in us, he will finish with us if we want to. Amen? The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can we work out our salvation when we have no part in our salvation? How do we do this thing? For it is God which works in you both the will and the good by his pleasure. What do we have to do? Maintain a daily connection 100% with him. I know that all of us fail, but we have to go again, and we will. He promised that what he started, he will what? Finish. Amen? Jesus, our wonderful Savior, what did the angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures say when they reviewed matchless plan of salvation? What did they say? What do you hear in Revelation? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen? What is Jesus saying to all of us? Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come as you are. He's going to give you rest. Will you accept that blessed peace and rest from his gracious hand today? And the answer is yes. When a person is justified by acceptance of Christ as Savior, he is delivered from the penalty of all confessed sins. True or false? Amen. The process of growing up into Christ daily with power over sin is called sanctification. True or false? My part in the salvation process is to willingly follow Jesus and his word, and he does all the rest. True? I can be confident that Jesus, who has begun a good work in me, will continue to help me grow up in his likeness until the day of his appearing. True? Amen. The Master is saying to me right now and to you, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. Do we accept this? Amen. God bless us all. We're going to sing a very nice song now, and you will know it.
Let's all stand.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for the message this morning. We all want to have that justification by faith, dear Lord. But it's not faith in us. It's faith in you, what you've done already for us. It's that sanctification that you've given us as a free gift through your mercy. Help us on a day-by-day basis to learn more about you, to study your word, to see how it reflects on our life. Help us to be transformed on that day-to-day basis. Help us to be faithful and continue on, that we stay faithful throughout all. We ask all this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.